Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode...
Your greatest risk is going to be around your people. That's where it's all going to come from. So what insights can we give you to actually help you mitigate that risk, but also to identify the teams that need the help immediately, or where are your greatest opportunities to actually perform really well?
Welcome to impactboom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thank you for listening to episode 473 of Impact Boom. My name is Sarah Ripper, and I'm passionate about sharing positive, creative, regenerative, heart and soul-led initiatives, as well as the ideas and the voices behind them. And today, we're speaking with Carolyn Grant. Carolyn is the CEO of People Plus Science and creator of evidence-based tools founded in neuroscience, translated into practical business steps for organizational leaders to mitigate risk and drive growth. People Plus Science tools and training provide organizational leaders with the People Plus business intelligence to measure, monitor, assess, and solve people issues from boardrooms to frontline and remote teams with great impacts on the bottom line, well-being, and risk. Armed with deeper insights, leaders are more confident to lead in critical areas of growth, including team performance and engagement, risk management, organizational resilience, change management, customer centricity, innovation, and growth. Carolyn is the researcher and publisher of Australia's Boardroom Psychology Safety Benchmark and the author of Legacy Leadership, A New Mode of Leadership After Two Decades of Leadership Crisis. She's also a certified chair, graduate of the AICD, and fellow of the Governance Institute of Australia. On today's podcast, we will discuss learning and innovation in organizational leadership and how this ripples out through teams and beyond, as well as Carolyn's perceptive approach to identifying and implementing best practice. Carolyn, it's fabulous to have you here with us today. So thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. I'm really excited.
To start off, I'm excited too. You know, and I think we were just briefly chatting. There's so much to talk about in this area and the areas that you work in and the spaces and places they intersect with. So could you please start off by just sharing about your background and what's led you to being in this field?
Yeah, okay. So I'm the founder and CEO of People Plus Science, and we essentially use insights to be able to give leaders better support for decision-making, essentially. So we translate neuroscience into really practical business steps so that our leaders are really confident about leading and our teams are in that right environment to basically thrive and perform at a high level. Yeah, I love what I do. So we've got a great compliance around what we do at the moment with psychosocial hazards and creating a lead indicator around psychological safety, which, you know, when you think about customer centricity, customer co-design and innovation and learning, those sorts of things are the conditions that you need to be able to have those environments really thrive and those people thrive in those spaces. So yeah, we're loving life at the moment. We just love it.
So great. What led you to work in this field specifically? Was there something that happened or a milestone, or what was your journey?
I have always been on the customer and innovation, product development, product management side of things, and used to do a lot of customer experience boot camps with leaders and just saw a really high churn rate. And so just as you're teaching around customer centricity, you'd have the teams disappear and then you're having to relearn everything, reteach everything, retrain everything. Customers are frustrated, employees are frustrated, leaders are changing. So I started looking at what else is there. We're looking at Net Promoter Score, we're looking at eNet Promoter Score from an employee perspective, but I just felt like that wasn't defining engagement enough. And I ended up doing a neuroscience in leadership course, and this word came out, which was psychological safety. And I just went, okay, that's it. That's the deeper, that's the actual lead indicator of where a lot of these issues are coming from. That's how we drive business performance, that's how we drive team performance. So, what can I do more in that space? And at the time, I was on a number of boards and I went to a few training programs because I love learning. I would dedicate probably at least one day a week to learning. And I was, funnily enough, at this optimizing board performance discussion and I was running late. So, I was just doodling, listening to people's conversations and writing stuff down. And there was just this level of toxicity, like, people complaining about their boards, people talking about the issues that they're having and the challenges that they have. And I just went, wow, we're supposed to be optimizing performance here. We're supposed to be leading this, leading, strategic thinking, providing the right resources for the organization, yet we can't even get our own shit together. So what chance does an organization have, and what chance does that CEO or that C-suite have when they're coming to talk to us and ask for direction and advice or that sort of advisory capacity if we can't actually cohesively work well as a team? So I started looking at psychological safety of boards and started researching that. And I did ask one of the groups that I was studying with to go, would you like to do this as an Australian benchmark with me? And they went, well, we don't think board is a team. And I went, I think they are, but okay. So I just started doing it on my own. And that has created the Australian benchmark for psychological safety. And we're driving that more into wellbeing in the workplace. It really had some really startling information around it in terms of how that psychological safety in the boardroom either hindered people's ability to be able to speak up and participate and feel valued. And then when we evaluated or we asked them to assess their own effectiveness on that board, it was so low for those that couldn't speak up and didn't feel valued. And so when they then evaluated the effectiveness of their decision making, it was again low. So I think when we said, how effective are you? Only about 25% of the boards actually said they were highly effective in strategic decision making. And when you put that into the context of a dream world of innovation that's coming out and failing, that's a real issue. That's a big issue.
Yeah, that is, and it's surprisingly low. I'm quite,
Yeah.
yeah. So, what have been some of the flow-on effects since bringing these findings to your client bases through PeoplePlusSign?
Yeah, look, it's been a really slow burn actually, because we're kind of Amy Edmondson has been great in translating, the 1970s research from some of those founders around psychological safety and bringing it into organizations. So she's done a really great job of that. But it really hasn't been until our workplace health and safety environment has said psychosocial hazards are now something that we're going to be focusing on, which is a lag indicator, really. It doesn't really look at the environment early enough. But now suddenly everyone's going, hang on a second, what impact does this have? And it has huge impacts from an individual to a team, to a decision-making team, to a board potentially. So in the startup and scale-up space, of course, we've got investors that are saying, look, we've never really thought about it before, but we want you to come in and we want you to validate what's coming through here. From a neuroscience perspective, we look at the amount of biases that a founder and a team can have early on. So we use a validate tool to basically try and mitigate a lot of that confirmation bias that is often in there so that we can actually say, well, actually, is that your target customer? Are we actually using that right? So that's probably one of the tools that we actually developed during COVID, because we found people were really struggling to pivot during COVID. And a lot of that was when you go back to our people and culture assessments, one of the things that we measure is organizational resilience. And that's looking at your people resilience, but also the organizational responsiveness to outside factors and whether the resources internally are ready enough to do that. So that was another tool that has that neuroscience lens that we bring in. And the other one is, of course, investors are now saying to look, or it's probably more the fund managers, I guess, where they're saying we have a responsibility to our investors. And they're saying we want to make sure that there's some due diligence here. And can we actually optimize the board performance? Have we got the right person in the CEO role? And how do we know that it's fit for purpose moving forward? Are they fit for purpose for a team? So they're actually starting to look at a lot more of the dynamics, I guess, in that decision-making teams and with those boards, where, you know, there might be an investor that has to sit there and they haven't really had a choice over who that person is. And there's suddenly some friction around the transparency and the information and things like that. So there've been some amazing products, I guess, that we've developed at different stages in being able to validate and give a little bit more of an early nurture to a lot of the startups for scale-ups and growth and for mergers and acquisitions. Probably just a lot more of that due diligence to go, listen, your greatest risk is going to be around your people. That's where it's all going to come from. So what insights can we give you to actually help you mitigate that risk, but also to identify the teams that need the help immediately, or where are your greatest opportunities to actually perform really well? So there's so many applications to it. It's really great from so we have one board that was able to use it because it had great results for their nominations committee. They went, look, let's prove how great we've been and how we're performing and how cohesive we really are, which they only decided to do after they got the results. But we also had other things, like we've got a lot of organizations that work with a lot of really sensitive issues. And we actually found that whilst a lot of what they were reading was a hazard, their work from home routines actually mitigated a lot of that. And when we were talking about boards wanting CEOs to start directing their people to come back to work, we were going, well, actually, that's going to raise a very huge risk, because what your people have done is to mitigate a lot of that vicarious trauma. They've got these really great processes at home. They've got their dogs. They've got they've got exercise. They've got this access. If you're suddenly going to put them on a train to come into the city for an hour and a half, maybe that's not going to be really conducive to them being able to manage a lot of the stuff that they're going to be reading at work. And other things, other indicators, of course, are our trust diagnostics, which is a really great way to identify, is it intention? Is it integrity? Is it your skill set? That's the problem. But then that forms a really great process and a foundation for your competency frameworks for your team, for your leaders, and for your board. So there are just so many ways that it just keeps evolving. And as I said, it's really just giving leaders that insight to enable them to actually confidently lead instead of constantly second guessing themselves or being worried that if they make a step, it's going to be the wrong one.
Yeah. And I know you've mentioned a few of them. What are some key takeaways that people either leading teams or working within teams could benefit from being aware of, and whether that's emerging best practice or things that you're finding are staples that are continually great to come back to?
That's a really good question. I think the one that I really like is that pretty much 70% of the leaders influence the cohesion and the environment of the team. So I think that is really important. And when we talk about looking after yourself and having some emotional intelligence and that self-awareness piece, it's because you have that influence, you know. So I think there's a duty of care there to actually get to know yourself better and understand how you're responding to things. As a founder, the latest research from Startup Snapshot, which was only just issued in 2023, but it was saying that 72% of founders actually have a mental health impact from the work that they're doing as a founder, and 81% won't actually speak up about it. So that's a real concern, because the impact then that you have on your team and on the relationships that you have, there's a real significant impact there that could be quite negative. So I think the second thing is that to look after yourself, it's that whole oxygen mask thing, isn't it? Look after yourself first, and then you can look after everyone else just as well. And it is, but it's more about understand yourself so that you know some of the reactions that you're having. You know, if you know that going into a boardroom is something that churns you up and makes you sick, What can we do to fix that? What can we do to actually have that difficult conversation? And that's probably the third thing. I think the level of our conversational intelligence is just dropping. We just don't seem to be able to have them. And I think as the next lot of generations, you know, come through workplaces where they've had probably less personal face-to-face training, less buddying, more online learning, more self-paced learning, texting, where that's the communication of the day, this reluctance to actually have a conversation, a face-to-face conversation, is going to be posed with difficulty, I think, and create more and more concerns and problems in the workplace and outside of it. So they're probably the three things I would say, that if we can arm ourselves with those three things, that would be great.
Great. And what are some projects or initiatives that you've heard of or come across that you feel are creating really positive change?
I think Impact Boom's one. I think I love the positive change that comes from that. I think recently we were at the CSIRO and their On Accelerate program, which was just sensational. And the introduction of a topic like founder resilience and wellbeing, I think that's sensational because it's putting a focus right then and there. UniQuest is already talking about how can we do the due diligence around the psychological safety of a boardroom to make sure that our founders and our boards are actually performing really well. We've got, you know, new startups and founders in home care that are trying to do things differently and make sure that every supply chain connection is delivering the best level of care possible. To some of our overseas teams that we work with, where we've got teams in India and America and they're using Australia because we're just accessible and available and cheap. And they're looking at how can we bring in more cultural awareness. And I think the more and more that we can do around diversity and inclusion, you know, that sense of belonging, which is that first step of psychological safety, is really critical. So focusing on that. I love the organizations that spend time and effort on their onboarding process and making sure that that's a great one, and their training programs and making them more specific and personalized. So I think there are some great organizations out there that are just going from strength to strength, which is really good.
And Carolyn, to finish off, what are some books or resources that you would recommend to our listeners?
One of my favorites is actually The Dopamine Nation. It is absolutely sensational and talking about the impacts on the brain of using illicit drugs, or from too much chocolate to illicit drugs almost, and doing this comparison, but also how desensitized that we get as a result. And some of it is quite shocking the way it's delivered, but it is one of the most interesting reads that I think my walking went on longer in the morning because I just didn't want to stop listening to the book. I'm a huge podcast listener to anything that's professional references. So that is just a sensational book to read, I think, around the impacts of dopamine and addiction to dopamine, really. So that's a top reference for me. Amy Edmondson's, of course, teaming book, I think, is a really great one. But they're probably my top two. I always love Simon Sinek's The Why, but I would say Amy Edmondson's around psychological safety is also a really great book. And I think she just released her second book too, which is about failing right, which is, I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to reading it next. And I'm just I download anything really. And there are so many great free courses that are available too from university professors. So at the moment I'm doing cognitive behavioral therapy and neuroscience of leadership again. So there's just so much. I can't even stop talking about half the things that I read. So jump on Audible. There's a good plug for Audible.
Amazing. Carolyn, any parting thoughts on the next phase of organizational leadership and where you feel it's going?
Oh, look, I think I'm probably a little bit concerned about where organizational leadership is going, and business ownership in particular. I think a lot of businesses are struggling with the amount of compliance that's out there and the cost of compliance, and that's just putting an additional pressure on them. And that's kind of reflected a lot too in that mental health report, which actually says it's hard, it's just getting harder. So, and I do see that throughout our industry, it's harder, is getting harder. So I think that the mental health and the resilience and whatever we can do to actually build up some of those reserves is really critical for everyone. And also arming ourselves with that ability to be able to help others. And just because I think that's the other concern, whilst you're a lot of our leaders are saying that only about 15% of them actually feel comfortable working with their teams when they express that they're suffering from mental health because they don't know what to do. So again, it goes back to giving them confidence to lead so that that doesn't become another pressure for them to try and juggle or avoid or ignore. So I've got a great concern for organizational leadership, but not a few years ago it would have been because I think we had a real leadership crisis. We had leaders that just weren't doing the right thing. And I think if you said how much do you trust that leader in your relationship or in the business, then it was quite low. But now I think it's more about the concern for the resilience of our leaders at the moment.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. And I know that there's so much more to keep exploring. So I really suggest everybody to follow up with Carolyn's work and the resources that she's mentioned. And as I think you've iterated here, there is so much free learning and learning resources that are available online where we can continue to expand our capacity, our knowledge, and our resilience and our ability to be there for ourselves and others. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people, and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below. And remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter. We'll be right back.